This is the Soulful BR podcast with Janet Murray, episode 138.
Welcome to the Soulful PR podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about why you shouldn't be afraid to give away free content on your blog, in the form of free downloads, or any content that you create that helps your audience. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to take a minute to tell you a little bit about our new sponsor, ResponseSource. ResponseSource is a media inquiry service that puts journalists who are looking for help with stories in touch with people who want to be featured in the media. So that's people like you. And if you subscribe to ResponseSource, you'll get dozens of emails in your inbox every day from journalists from the likes of the BBC, The Guardian, and Grazia magazine. So there's no need to write press releases or pitches to journalists. You simply reply to the messages in your inbox. Now, using ResponseSource has resulted in some fantastic coverage for the clients that I work with. And one example that comes to mind is Kate Beavis, an expert in vintage style who's recently been featured in the Daily Mail, in Top Sante magazine and the Metro newspaper, simply from replying to a few emails. So if you'd like to find out if ResponseSource could help you to get press coverage for your business and have a free trial of the service, then head over to responsesource.com/Janet Murray. That's responsesource.com/Janet Murray, and I'll also put a link to that in the show notes. And now, on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be sharing five reasons why you shouldn't be afraid of giving away free content in the form of blogs, cheat sheets, or any other content that you create that solves your customers' problems. And this episode was really inspired by a question that I've been asked a lot lately, and this is basically it. If I give away free content on my blog or on YouTube or on a podcast, whatever it might be, doesn't that mean that people won't want to buy from me because they'll already know everything they need to know? And this really couldn't be further from the truth for the reasons that I'm going to take you through right now. So the first thing to think about when it comes to creating free content on a blog or podcast or YouTube, whatever it might be, is that it's just advertising and it's just a different way of doing advertising and it actually works better. So to give you an example, I'm a keen pianist and up until about 3 or 4 years ago, I was playing really regularly and I was having jazz piano lessons, but unfortunately work has taken over a bit and I've kind of put it down a bit. And I've been thinking recently, I really need to take that back up. And I've been thinking about what it was that held me back from progressing with my piano. And one of the things, a big thing for me, was the fact that I had to travel to see a teacher. So I had two teachers, one who taught me classical, one who taught me jazz, and both of them were about 15 miles away. So whenever I had a lesson, I had to drive to them. And it would end up taking up half my day. And, you know, obviously when you're running a business and taking half a day out to go and have piano lessons felt a little bit indulgent. And I often found myself starting to cancel lessons because I was just so busy. So I thought to myself, well, you know, I'm in this online space. I teach people online. Maybe I can find myself a course or some kind of membership community that I can belong to where I can learn jazz piano with other people and have access to a tutor, but actually kind of work through it at my own pace. So I started having a look online and I haven't made any decisions yet, but I've already come across 4 or 5 people who I think could be contenders. And what's really helped me to get this shortlist down is that the ones that are on my shortlist have given me the chance to experience what it is that they do. So when I Googled jazz piano lessons, they came up high in search. And the first thing I found was some kind of video, a freebie, some lessons that I could try out, some cheat sheets, some workbooks that I could work through, some audio samples, some backing tracks, that kind of thing. So I've been able to experience what it will be like to be part of that community or to do that course without actually paying a penny. And some of these courses, typically they're, you know, a few hundred pounds to join for the year. It's not a decision that I'm going to make lightly. I want to get it right. So the fact that they're giving me the chance to experience what it is that they do is going to help me make a decision. And to be quite honest, I don't think I would be able to make a decision if all I could find were posters saying jazz piano lessons. How would I make a decision? How would I decide if one jazz piano course was better for me than another one? But by getting to experience their content and experiencing the learning styles, I'm better qualified to make a decision. And I think we just can't deny it. All of us, it doesn't matter what we're buying now, we spend time researching online. Now, this is quite a boring example, but I recently bought one of those super duper steam iron things, which irons your clothes quicker. And it was quite an investment. It cost me 120 quid. So obviously I didn't just kind of go online and order the first thing that I saw. I had a look on Amazon. I had a look on eBay. I had a look on some other retails. I also read a few articles, and there was one particular one in the Daily Mail, which had a kind of comparison as to which one was the best. And I made my decision based on reviews that coupled with, I bought from Amazon in the end, from Amazon reviews. And I think all of us, the way that we make decisions, buying decisions now is, it's not just, we wouldn't just see a poster, we wouldn't just see an advert for something and say, oh yes, I'll buy that. We basically educate ourselves about what it is that we're going to buy. We want to be educated. So I educated myself about buying a steam iron before I made a decision. And that is the culture that we're living in. And basically, if you're not buying into that, you're kind of missing a trick, because you've got this great opportunity to educate people about what you do, about what you know, and they can experience your product before they buy, which helps them make a better buying decision. Now, you might well be thinking at this stage, well, I've got a product-based business. I can't really see how this works for me. But you can still educate your customers and your prospective customers, even if you have a product-based business. And just to give you an example, let's say that you make engagement rings or something like that. I've come across a really great blog recently, which I'll link to in the show notes. It's not the prettiest looking blog, but content-wise, it's fantastic. It's a place where you can buy engagement rings, but it's got really, really great articles about things like how much should you spend on an engagement ring? How do you insure an engagement ring? What to do if you buy an engagement ring and your fiance doesn't like the one that you buy? You know, just really, really useful content. So if I'm online looking for somewhere to go and buy an engagement ring, am I going to go to the company that has a nice website but doesn't offer me that opportunity to be educated about engagement rings? Or am I more likely to consider the one that's taking the time to educate me about buying engagement rings? And it's, you know, it's a huge big purchase, an engagement ring. You know, it's not something that people take lightly. So I think that's really the first point to make, is that it's just advertising. It's just a different way of advertising, and it's better. And taking that opportunity to educate your prospective customers about what it is that you do is absolute gold. And just remember that even if you educate them and they decide ultimately that your product or service isn't for them, I mean, it may well be that there's a perfectly good jazz piano teacher or jazz piano course out there, and I end up not buying just because the style isn't quite right for me. I'm not going to walk away with a bad impression of that company. I'm just going to say, well, that one wasn't right for me. And if a friend says to me, can you recommend any jazz courses? I'm probably still going to have that one on my list. It just wasn't right for me. So taking the time to educate your prospective customers about what it is that you do, you just can't overestimate how important that can be for your business. So the second thing to think about is that if you're giving away free content, this may have crossed your mind. Okay, well, I'm giving away free content. This is all very well. I'm educating my audience. This is fantastic. But if I've given all my free content away, there's nothing else for people to buy. And obviously, people who have service-based businesses often say this to me, and people who run consultancies, and they say, well, if I've given away all my secrets, if I've told them how to run a Twitter account more effectively, if I've told them how to get press coverage, if I've told them how to manage tricky situations at work, then why would they want to hire me? Well, you would be absolutely amazed. Something I hear a lot, and actually somebody sent me a message on Instagram to this effect the other day, was, if your free content is that good, I can't help but wonder what your paid content will be like. And this is basically how people think. They think, well, if their free content is that fantastic, then obviously if I pay for it, I'm going to get better quality content. So actually, the reverse of what you think is true is the case. You know, people, if they love your free content, if it's really high quality, they're just going to think to themselves, wow, what else can I get from this person? And I see that time and time again in my own business. The third thing I want you to think about is personalization. So I create tons of free content on how to get press coverage, on how to promote your business, how to write press releases, how to pitch journalists, how to find their contact details. But people still, and there's 6,500 of them almost, go into my Facebook community to ask follow-up questions. And the reason is because they want it personalised to them. So they say, this is a great article, Janet. I totally get what you're saying about how to put a pitch together for a journalist. But the thing is that my situation is like this. So it's a little bit different than how you've described it. So what should I do? And what people are often looking for, even if you've got really fantastic content, you know, you can never fully answer everybody's questions. There will always be more, and people will always want it personalised and tailored to them. So what people will pay for is for the chance to have one-to-ones with you or to get more exposure to you in a private Facebook group or whatever it might be. So while you might think that you've given everything away, what you haven't done is personalised it for that particular person. So in the case of my Soulful PR Studio, for example, I've had quite a few people say that to me. Well, I got to know you because I really liked your free content. And I thought to myself, if I was to join your group, then wow, not only is the content going to be better, but it's also going to be personalized to me. So some of the things that I do for my Soulful PR Studio members in our Slack group, which is our community group, is if they create a blog post, I will go in and give them some individual feedback about that blog post. And I'll say to them, like the piece, but you might want to tweak your headline, or like the piece, but actually your introduction's too long, or whatever it might be. If somebody writes a pitch to a journalist and they share it in my community space, then I'll go into them and I will say, yep, like your pitch, but you need to tweak the header, or actually, I don't think that idea is going to work. Why don't you try this instead? So it's that personalization, it's that tailoring. That's what people will pay for. Now, I can give a little bit of one-to-one in my free Facebook group. So if you're listening, you may well be a member of it, and you probably see that I go in every day and I answer people's questions. But I give much more personal attention to the members of my Soulful PR community, because my studio, because they're paying members. Of course I do. And not just in our community group, but I'm also in several Instagram pods with them. So I'm talking to them every day. We also have a Facebook growth pod where we comment on each other's Facebook content. So I'm in there chatting to them every day. So I have a relationship. I know them. I know their business. Sometimes I might spot something, like, for example, I saw this really good engagement ring blog, and it made me think of Susie Jones, who's one of the members of my Soulful PR community. And I thought, right, I'm going to post this in the group because I saw that and it made me think of her, and I think that she might find it useful for her own blog. Lucy Parsons, who's an academic coach, sometimes I'll see something in the news and I'll think that could be a really good opportunity for Lucy to pitch into the media. So because I know Lucy, I'll go in and say, I just saw this article and, you know, I think this one might work for you. So that's the difference, really. I couldn't possibly do that for 6,500 members in my free Facebook group. But in my studio, I'm able to give people that personalization. I'm able to take my resources and help people tailor those resources for them. So that's really kind of what it's all about. The other thing to think about is know, like, and trust. Now, you've probably heard me talk about this on the podcast before if you're a regular listener, but people don't buy after one advert or hearing about your company once. I mean, occasionally they do, but most of the time, you've probably heard all the sales research, people need something like 7 or 8 touch points before they buy. So having blog content, being educated by you, maybe in different ways, on a blog, on a podcast, free downloads, then people are building that know, like, and trust factor. So even if you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, I'm sharing all my best content, maybe they won't want to buy from me, it's not really about that. It's about people want to go deeper, basically. So I don't know, if you're a stylist, you might have a really fantastic blog where you share loads of great tips on how to dress if you're over 40, and you might have loads of really fantastic stuff. While that's useful, that's not the same as you coming to my house, you opening my wardrobe with me, and you sitting down with me and you helping me to dress and you helping to tailor that for me. So it really is about building that know, like, and trust factor. I'm only going to invite you to come around to my house and to be my stylist and to tailor that to me when I know you. You know, you putting a blog post out there isn't probably going to be enough to persuade me to pay you money to be my stylist. But if I read several of your blog posts, if I download a cheat sheet, if I go to one of your webinars, maybe I'm going to start to trust you and know and like you and feel you're the right person to work for me. It's exactly the same as shopping for that iron on Amazon. It really is. And the last thing I just wanted to share about this and why you shouldn't be afraid of giving your away free content is that it saves you time. So I find that when people ask questions in my Facebook community, there's rarely a question that I haven't been asked before. I've usually got a blog post or I've got a podcast episode that I can say, you'll find the answer here. When people email with a query, so for example, if they want a discount or they want a transfer on one of my events, having created blog content around that, instead of typing it all out again, we can just send it to them. And I think, you know, far from people thinking that, you know, that means that I've given everything away, so there's nothing more for them, I think people appreciate that. And again, it comes back to this whole thing of, if your free content is this good, then what else might you be able to offer if they paid for it? And I see it working time and time again. So I hope you found that useful. As ever, I do love hearing from you. So I'd love it if you drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk, or you can tweet me at @jan_murray, or you can find me on Instagram at @janmurrayuk. A couple of other podcast episodes you might want to have a listen to. So episode 132, so excuses you might be making not to blog, and episode 134, 6 types of blog posts you should be creating regularly.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.